اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
الحمد لله الذي ليس لأولية ابتداء ولا لأزلية انقضاء، وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته ورجعت عظمته العقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد الفتحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وأجل فرجهم.
وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى رحمها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وقف فرحهم
تطهيرا. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وأجل فرجهم.
لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى، وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لساقت الأرض في أحدها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: إنك ميت وإنهم ميتون. صلوات.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وأجل فرجهم.
Death is a حقيقة and reality which even the prophets of God are not mustasna and exempt from this reality. The prophet has been addressed by Allah in the Quran that you are mayyit and they are also mayyit. So the Prophet is going to die and the rest of the people are also going to die. So everybody is going to die. No one can escape the death, and it is hikmat and a matter of wisdom that we all prepare for the death before it arrives all of a sudden, which it always arrives all of a sudden. We have been discussing the ahkam of mayyit in this presentation, and the ahkam of mayyit, that was the introduction of the discussion, and tafsil, washing the body of the deceased, tahnit, applying kafur on the body, on the seven parts of the sajda, takfeen, wrapping up the coffin that the person himself has arranged in his own life by his own money. So we have been discussing number three, which is takfeen. We were almost at the end of this, and probably we are going to try to finish at least most of it or all of it inshallah, starting from the tasliyah, which is praying. So let's see, where did we finish about takfeen in the previous presentation, and this is the segment number two of the same presentation. So we reached, we already discussed this part where we are talking about how much is wajib and how much is mustahab, and when it comes to the qamis, the pirahan, the shirt, and the izar, which is the mikzar or izar or the lungi or lung, and then the overall chadar, which has to be wrapped up on the entire body. We discuss all that. Then we started the mustahab parts for the man, which is also an amama on the head, and a bed-like thing, a belt, kamarband-like thing, and the underwear-like thing, which is here, number three. And then of course the second overall chadar is also mustahab to wrap another second chadar on top of the first chadar and overall thing that you already did as wajib. Second one is mustahab. You did all that, then the mustahab parts for the woman, makhna, we discussed, and again the chest band, sina band, and the underwear, again here, and this is the kamarband and belt number 3, and this is the underwear type of thing, round page, and this is the second overall chadar, which is also mustahab for a woman. So these are 5 mustahab things for a woman. And then we talked about jarida then. 2 fresh twigs without the leaves from a tree need to be put on the right and the left between the arms on the side, like I displayed here, this red. That's how we need to put it. And so this keeps the azab. One of the benefits is that it keeps the azab of qabr, fishari qabr, zaktatul qabr, away from the dead for as long as these two twigs are fresh. We discuss, I think, all this, here, I think if you can bring down or make it a little bit smaller, because one line is cutting from the top and some is cutting from the bottom as well. Can you unzoom the thing a little bit? Because I can't read what is written on the top.
Par Muhammad wa ala bayt Muhammad
salawat.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Please read one salawat for these brothers who have been working hard on the technical side to make sure the presentation is running properly.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajhum.
It is ihtiyat wujubi. In Farsi we say ihtiyat wajib, that all 3 cloths are not see-through. We don't use the see-through cloths of the kafan. The kafan of the wife is wajib on the husband, even if she is rich, we did that. Even she is mutallaqa during the iddat, it's wajib on the husband. If mayyit did the wasiyyat, the will that the kafan should be from her own thuras, on the thuras, or the thuras must be spent on him or her, then the mustahab part of the kafan can also be taken from the thuras of the miras. We did all that, and then it is wajib to pray. I think we were here. We did this slide, last slide of takfeen, and now tonight we need to start from the tasliya, that means pray. Tasliya is the masdar of salla yusalli, tasliyatan, that means praying on praying. So it is wajib on us to pray on a mayyit, a Muslim mayyit's body. These are some of the ahkam. It is wajib to pray on a 6-year-old child, girl or boy, or 6-plus-year-old child who is a Muslim. If one or both of his 4 parents are Muslims at the time of his death, even if one of the parents of a child who is 6-year-old or 6-plus is a Muslim, the other one is a non-Muslim, it is still wajib on us to pray on such a child. If the child is less than 6 years of Islamic Hijra calendar years, less than 6 year Islamic lunar Hijra calendar, less than 6 years, Salatul Mayyit is not wajib on us to pray on his janazah or her janazah. So it is wajib when the child is 6 years of age or 6 plus, and one of the 2 parents are Muslims at the time of death. Tasliyah must be after tafseel. You can't pray over the janazah before finishing the ghusl. You have to first things first. You have to first finish the ghusl, tafseel, and then the tahneed. You apply the kafur on those 7 parts of sajda like we already studied. And then we do the takfeen, wrapping up the kafan And after these 1, 2 and 3 wajibs, then you do the prayers, Salatul Mayyit, on this janaza. You can't pray before all this. He's not ready for the prayers now, unless you first finish all these three. Wudu, or ghusl, or tayammum, or the taharat of the badan, taharat of the body, or taharat of libas, taharat of the dress that you are wearing at the time of Salatul Mayyit, is not required for you to do the prayers, to do the tasliyah. Although it is ihtiyat mustahab, ihtiyat mustahab, ihtiyat istihbabi, that you have wudu before you start Salatul Mayyit. I'm praying the Salatul Mayyit on this janaza, you know, qurbatan ila Allah. It's mustahab for you, ihtiyat mustahab for you to have wudu, just like the regular prayers. If you ghusl al-janabat, ghusl al-hayd, ghusl al-istihada, ghusl any other ghusl, ghusl of masl mayyit, any ghusl is wajib on you. Also, it is ihtiyat mustahab, ihtiyat istihbabi, that you also do the ghusl before start of the prayers. It is ihtiyat istihbabi, ihtiyat mustahab, but it is not wajib. So even if you have wajib ghusl on you, even if you don't have wudu, you can still pray Salatul Mayyit on a janaza. Even if your badan is najis, you can still pray Salatul Mayyit on the janaza. Even if your libas is najis, you can still pray Salatul Mayyit on the janaza. So the taharat of libas, taharat of badan, or ghusl, or tayammum, or wudu, none of those things are wajib for us who are praying the Salatul Mayyit on the mayyit. Imam must be in standing position. When the Imam who is leading the Salatul Mayyit in the Jama'at, it's a wajib prayer, it can be in Jama'at. When the Imam is leading the Salatul Mayyit in the standing, he must be in the standing position. Imam must be facing the Qibla. Don't get confused, facing Qibla doesn't apply for the dead person. The dead person must be lying in the tabut, in the coffin. Or if some you are in a desert, there is no tabut, there is no coffin, the dead person is lying on the back, on his or her back. So, the Imam who is praying the Salatul Mayyit has to be facing towards the Qibla. So, if the janaza is lying like this, this is not right. If the Qibla direction is this, let's suppose for a moment, then this is not the right way. The janaza should be lying on the other side. The head should be on that side. This side should be the head. And this side should be the legs of the mayyit. Head on the right side of the imam who is praying, and feet on the left side of the imam who is praying. So you are praying, let's suppose this is the direction of Qibla. The janaza has to be on its back. Head of the janaza is on the right side of the imamul salah who is praying. And the right side is the head of the mayyit, left side is the feet of the mayyit. Right towards you and left towards you. Is that clear? So imam must be in the standing position, imam must be facing the qibla, and the mayyit must be on its back, his head on the right of imam. Okay? Now, if the janaza is a man, what we do is that if the janaza is a man, I already said the head should be here and the feet should be here. Let's suppose Imam of Mayyit is standing. Imam is standing here, and this is the direction of Qibla. Here is the head of Mayyit, here is the feet of Mayyit. Now, where should the Imam stand? The Sharia says the Imam should, if the Mayyit is a male, Imam should stand in the middle of the janaza. Okay? For the prayers. If the Mayyit is a female, Imam should stand next to her chest. Okay? This is how the Imam is supposed to stand at the time of the prayers. Then Imam should be close to the Mayyit. Yeah, this is also should be remembered. When you are praying on the janaza, you have to be close to the Mayyit. You cannot be far away. it is mustahab to be as close to the janaza as if you're standing here and the janaza is right in front of you, as close that if the wind blows, your dress strikes the mayyit. If the wind blows, your dress strikes the janaza, the tabut. This much close to the mayyit. This is mustahab. So imam should be close to the mayyit. There should be no curtain or wall between the imam and the mayyit. Okay? And the private parts of the mayyit must be covered by something during the tasbih, during the prayers. Well, you may ask, the private parts are already covered, we did the kafan. We are talking about all possible situations. Let's suppose you are in a desert and you have no way to find a kafan. You have absolutely no way to find the kafan. And you cannot even wait. You cannot take the janaza to a city. You cannot wait for that long for somebody to contact somebody and to bring it from the city. And the mayyit, you have to bury quickly. Because the mayyit is giving bad smell, is decaying. And you are forced, you are in the situation of tarar and emergency, you have to bury quickly. So now, you have no kafan. When you don't have the kafan, what are you going to do? Of course, you have nothing at all with which you can provide the kafan. Nothing at all with which you can provide the kafan. So in that case, when you are about to bury the mayyit without the kafan, at the time of doing Salatul Mayyit, you have to cover something on the private parts before you start the prayers. You can put your own dress on the private parts to cover it, and then you pray, and then you bury the janaza, okay? So the private parts must be covered at the time when you are praying over the mayyit. Tasliya prayers must be with the niyat of qurbat, niyat of qurba, you know, it's wajibun ta'abudi, it's not wajibun tawassuli. The salatul mayyit is an ibadah, and every ibadah is wajibun ta'abudi. We do it with the niyat of qurbatan to Allah. You cannot just do it without niyat. You have to have the niyat. Specifying that mayyat. In your niyat, you need to specify that I am praying on this mayyat, qurbatan to Allah. You have to specify the mayyat in your niyat. And if the mayyat did his will about somebody to lead the salat, he should take izn from the wali of the mayyat. And the wali must allow. So let's suppose before dying, you make your wasiyyat that my salatul janaza should be performed by such and such mujtahid. Let's suppose you did the wasiyyat and you communicated with that mujtahid and that mujtahid agreed. If he says yes, now he is now shar'an the wasi. And your will executor. He is the executor of your will. So now that he became the wasi, an executor of your will, he is required to take the izn and prior permission from the wali of the mayyit. And we already discussed who are the awliya and wali of the mayyit. We already discussed in the previous slide, those who inherit. Al-awla fal-awla, the one who gets inheritance in the first tabaqa, first level of al-kitab al-miras. According to laws of the Sharia, there are levels of varasa, levels of inheritance. Those who are in the first level are the higher, are more suitable to be asked. We need to ask from them. And those who are in the second level, if the first level ones are not present, we will ask, go for the second ones. But if the first level of the inheritors are present, we will not ask from the other levels of inheritance. So, Tabaqa al-Ula, the first level of inheritance, then Tabaqa al-Thaniya, the second level of inheritance, then Tabaqa al-Thalith, the third level of inheritance of the Mayyit. So we need to take the wasi, the executor of the will must take the izn and permission and then start the prayers. We don't pray without the permission. Also, it is makruh to pray more than once on any Mayyit, except two. If you have one mu'min passing away, you don't pray twice. We don't have you know, like some other sects of Islam, they do salat lil-gha'ib. You know, the person is somewhere else, and you know, the janaza is not in front of you. Janaza, let's suppose, is in Toronto, and you are in Seattle. This person passed away in Toronto. So you bring all the mu'mineen, all the people, and then you are praying here without janaza, qurbatan ilallah. You know, ghaib, the person is ghaib. Mayyat is not here. That's how some other sects of Islam do. We don't have that kind of salat in our Sharia. You have to pray in front of the mayyat. We already discussed, you have to be in front of the mayyat. You know? So, ghaibana. We don't have that concept in our Sharia. So once you pray, once the brothers have prayed in Toronto and they bring the janaza to Seattle, it is to be buried in Seattle, you cannot pray again on the janaza. You cannot pray now. There in Toronto, there are only 3 mu'mineen who prayed on this janaza. Here in Seattle, we have 500 mu'mineen who are ready to pray. It doesn't matter. There are 500 or there are 5,000. It doesn't matter. It is makruh to pray more than twice. On any mu'min, you cannot pray more than twice. You have to avoid it. Unless if he is an alim or one of the atqiya, one of the pious muttaqi people, then it's okay to pray twice. If mayyat got buried without the salat, without the tasliyah, without the prayers on amd or on nisyan, intentionally, amd means intentionally, amdan, or nisyanan means by forgetfulness. People forgot. There are people in the community who just forgot to pray on the mayyat. And they buried the janaza into the qabr, into the grave, without doing the salatul mayyat. Now what is the ruling? The Sharia says, or if the salatul mayyat was batil, or if the people did pray, but the prayers was batil, it was not sahih, it was not correct, it was batil. It is wajib to pray on the grave before the body decays. Body decays, starts decaying very soon. So we have to be very particular. We cannot delay it like, okay, we can go after 1 week to pray on the grave. No, you cannot wait for 1 week. You know, you have to do it ASAP, probably within a few hours. Within a few hours, in that case, if you forgot to pray, or you intentionally did not pray, which is a haram, those who intentionally ignored the wajib, they would be doing a haram. If somebody, amdan, does not pray, it's haram not to pray and bury without the salatul mayyit, that's haram. So if somebody intentionally, amdan, did not pray, or nisyanan, by forgetfulness, did not pray, or they did pray but the prayers was bad, and in all the cases they need to quickly go to the grave, stand on the middle of, stand on the grave the way the mayyit is buried, stand next to the grave and do the wajib of the prayers. This has to be done on the grave. We cannot open up the grave and take the janaza out and then do the salatul mayyit on the janaza after taking it out again from the grave. Why? Because nabshul qabr, that means opening up the grave of a Muslim, is haram in Islam. You cannot, we'll come to that slide inshallah very soon. It's not allowed in the Sharia to open up a Muslim's grave after his burial. That's haram, that's insult. Adab of the salatul mayyit. At middle, if the mayyit is a man, and at the chest of a woman, if the mayyit is a woman, we stand at the chest. This is a part of the adab. Imam should be taking the shoes off at the time of the imamat of salatul mayyit. It is sawab for the imam to take his shoes off. Raf'ul yadayn, raising of the two hands, especially lil ula, especially for the first takbirah, first Allahu Akbar that the imam says. It is mustahab to raise the hand, it's sawab to raise the hands for all the 5 takbirah, but especially the first one, the imam should raise his hands. And we already discussed in the presentation of salat, for those of you who are present, that you combine your 10 fingers like this, and you raise your hands. From here, you start saying Allahu Akbar. By the time you reach Akbar, the Ra alphabet, Your hands have already reached close to the lobes of the ear, close to the lobes of the ear, and your palms facing the qibla. That's the right way of saying Allahu Akbar. You start saying, raising your hands and start saying Allahu Akbar. Okay? By the time you say Bar Akbar, your hands are already here. You don't say you keep on holding hands like this. Some people go keep on holding their hands like this. Allahu Akbar. You do exactly the opposite. You don't start Allahu Akbar by holding hands here. You start Allahu Akbar by raising your hands. Allahu Akbar. Okay? So, Raf'ul Yadain means raising your hands is sawab, especially for the first Ula here, means the first takbir, first Allahu Akbar. Salatul Mayyit has five, we are coming to that. Has five takbirs, five times Allahu Akbar, and the first Allahu Akbar is the Ula. Not in the Masajid. That means Salatul Mayyit should not be done inside the Masjid, except the Masjid al-Haram, except in the Holy Kaaba. The masjid surrounding the Holy Kaaba is called Al-Masjid Al-Haram, the respectable mosque, as the most superior mosque in Islam. In that masjid, we can do the Salatul Mayyit inside it. Otherwise, in all the rest of the masajid, we don't do the Salatul Mayyit inside the masjid. We do it outside the masjid. Salatul Mayyit should not be performed inside any masjid. And praying in Jama'at is part of the adab, that you don't pray alone on the Salatul Mayyit. You bring a couple of people, bring more people. If you think you can gather 500 people in Seattle, then don't pray in Toronto. Fine, bring your relative, your friend from Toronto, fly him to Seattle, fly the janaza to Seattle. Here you can gather 500 people, in Toronto you can gather 3 people. Fine, don't pray there. Bring the janaza, there is no hurry. You can delay the janaza for one day. It's good to bury as soon as possible, yes. But there are some reasons for which we can always delay. Like you can gather 500 people, it's a very good reason. You can delay it for one day, you can delay it for 1 week. That's fine. That's okay. You can put it in a freezer.
Here in these countries, you have all these facilities. You can put it in a freezer and you can gather as many mu'mineen as you think you can gather. Bring all of them, 500 people. Very good. If 40 people gather and pray for the mayyit, Allah forgives. If you can gather 40 people for the janazah, the salatul mayyit on any mu'min, and when they all gather together and say, Allahumma inna la na'lamu minhu illa khaira. Oh our Lord, suddenly we don't know nothing about him except khair. Wa anta a'lamu bihi minna, and you are more knowledgeable about him as compared to us. Allahumma in kana muhsanan fazid fi ihsanihi. Oh my Lord, if he was a good doer, increase in his good deeds. Wa in kana musi'an fatajawaz anhu. And if he was a bad doer, then you ignore his bad deeds, and you forgive him. When 40 people say this statement, then they are seeking forgiveness towards Allah in a unified way with ittihad. Allah knows all the sins and he still ignores it. So it's good, you can delay the janazah for a few days, for 1 week. You find all the big ulama who are dying, their burial doesn't take place on the same day. Usually it is always gets delayed, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, because they are gathering as many people. One of the reasons is this, usually. Here is the Salatul Mayyit and its description. I have the Zenith web team already preparing the Salatul Mayyit in nice fonts, and it is ready with me. I would like to request one of the brothers to take a paper out and give it to all these brothers here who are interested in giving their emails to me. I will email the PDF of this presentation to you, and
Also, you will be provided, inshallah, with the printed small handy Salatul Mayyit. So you can carry it with you whenever we have a Salatul Mayyit, a janaza, wherever in Seattle, you can carry it in your pocket. Zainab Web team has already prepared the Salatul Mayyit in a small, nice, you know, format. So inshallah, we'll give it to you, and I would like to request one of the sisters to please take a paper out and give it to all the sisters who may be interested in giving their emails to me, so I can send them this PDF presentation and also, inshallah, the Salatul Mayyit, small handy Salatul Mayyit that you can keep with you in your pocket, and maybe plastic, do the plastic coating, keep it in your pocket, so it will be, because sometimes we go there and some people don't remember Salatul Mayyit. Isn't that right? Whereas the wajib portion is so simple, everybody can remember. So that's why we have arranged for, it's already ready. So if you give me that, I can send it to you, inshallah. This is the wajib portion I wrote in English. First is the Allahu Akbar. That's the Takbiratul Ula, the first takbir. All these five takbirat are wajib. It's not just this, all the rest are also wajib, but this is the first one. So you do the niyat, and then you say Allahu Akbar after niyat. And can any one of you raise your hand and tell me what is the niyat of the Salatul Mayyit? We just discussed. Yes, please go ahead.
I deposit the mayyit for this person, wajib for what and
what? No, the prayers.
The prayer for answer yes
or no. Can any of the brothers tell me what is the niyat of the Salatul Mayyit? What is the niyat you are supposed to have at the time of Salatul Mayyit?
Janaz.
Yes, Salatul Janaz. What niyat?
Salatul Janaz.
Yeah, so what niyat you will make?
Musalli Salatul Janaz.
Qurbatan
ila
Allah. Hadha
niyat. We discussed that we have to specify khusus, we have to muayyan more. We have to ta'neen, we have to do. We need to fix our niyat that we are praying Salatul Mayyit on this janaza qurbatan ila Allah. Okay? So after making the niyat, you say the first Allahu Akbar. And then this is the wajib amount. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. This much is wajib to say, which is not difficult for any child, for not even a child to remember. We all can understand and remember this much easily. So all we need is just to pay a little bit attention and you can remember. And then you say second Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, and then you say Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. As simple as that. This much is wajib. Then you say the third Allahu Akbar third time. And then you say Allahumma ghfir, oh my Lord, forgive lil mu'mineena wal mu'minat, for the mu'min men and the mu'min women. Forgive them. You're asking forgiveness of Allah, from Allah towards them. And then you say fourth Allahu Akbar, and then Allahumma ghfir lihada al-mayyit. If it's a female, you can also say lihada al-mayyit. You can say lihada al-mayyit. Oh my Lord, forgive this deceased. This is the minimum wajib. Allahumma ghfir lihada al-mayyit. Allahumma ghfir lihada al-mayyit. In case of a female. And then you say the fifth Allahu Akbar, and that's where your prayer, your salat ends. There are so much mustahab things you see in the prayers. If you can watch this video, can you raise the volume, please? Number of people who are participating. Millions of people. when they said prayer off. One of the greatest personalities in our contemporary times.
وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون.
الله أكبر,
الله أكبر.
Has said, خالط الناس مخالطة إن عشتم معها حنوا إليكم وإن متتم بكوا عليكم. Interact with the people in such a way that if you die, if you are alive, they get attracted towards you. And if you die, they cry upon you. So this is a sign of a mu'min. If you find people getting attracted to a mu'min in his lifetime, or if you find the people running away from the person, avoiding the person, getting repelled from the person, it's all about the akhlaq and nuraniyat of a person. If our akhlaq is good, if our lisan, our tongue is good, we get attracted. If our lisan and tongue is bad, our akhlaq is bad, you know, people would start avoiding. شَرُّ النَّاسِ مَنْ خَافَ النَّاسُ لِسَانَهُ فَهُوَ مِنْ شَرِّ النَّاسِ. مَنْ خَافَ النَّاسُ لِسَانَهُ. Anyone whose tongue people are afraid of is among the worst of the humans. If your tongue is not in your control, you can end up saying whatever you may wish. So people avoid talking to you, interacting with you because of your tongue. And this kind of person is considered to be min sharrin nas, the worst of all the human beings. So there are some people, when they live, people are dying to meet. And when they die, people are crying. They are not relatives, they are not aqraba, but they are crying.
Why are they crying? This is the nuraniyat of a person. That's how a woman is supposed to be. So then after the prayers we move to the number 5, which is tadfeen, burying of the mu'min. The ahkam are like these. It is wajib to bury in a way that the odor, the smell of the person doesn't come out of the animals may not take the body out. This is wajib. So there's not an amount fixed. You have to bury like 6 inches or 8 inches or 10 inches or 1.5 feet. No, you can do it as much deep as the odor does not come up, and as much deep as the animals cannot take it out. There's no inches specified in the Sharia. Mayyat must be laid fully on the right, facing the qibla. You know, like we always do, those of you who are present in the maqbara, in the graveyard, you know how we turn the janazah after putting in the grave. Like this is the janazah lying on the back. Let's suppose we turn it completely like this. Completely like this. Not partially. You cannot bury like this. It will be completely like this. Straight, vertical. Completely on the side. And the head is on the right hand side of the mayyit. Mayyit's head is on the right hand side. Mayyit's feet are on the left hand side. And the whole body is facing towards Qibla. The whole body facing towards Qibla. Even the nails of the toes of the feet should also be facing towards the Qibla. So the whole body should be there. Okay?
Mayyat must be laid fully on the right-hand side, facing the qibla. And remember in the hadith of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, where we learned how many noors enter into the grave, إِذَا مَاتَ ابْنُ آدَمْ دَخَلَ مَعَهُ فِي قَبْرِهِ سِتَّةُ صُوَرٍ. When a first son of Adam, when a person passes away, six surat, six forms enter into his grave. And one of those six, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam informed us about this khabar of ghaib, that the noor which is on the right hand side, we learned in the hadith of the Imam, that the noor which is in the light of the hadith, that the noor on the right hand side of the mayyit is the noor of salat. All the prayers that the person has prayed in his life come in the form of noor, and that noor is on the right hand side. Now we read here in the ahkam, the mayyit must be laid fully on the right hand side of the mayyit. This is the janaza. You bury him like this. On the right hand side of the mayyit is down. Left hand side comes up. Isn't that right? So now the mayyit is lying on his prayers. Whatever type of salat you pray in your life, you will be resting on your salat. That's your mattress. Just like we buy, you know, memory foams, comfortable mattresses for our sleep. Some people cannot sleep unless they have such and such special kind of mattress. Isn't that right? We spend so much money on our mattress. So the best mattress is your salat. Because we will live in this world 60 years, 70 years, 100 years, 120 years. But in the qabr we will be lying for longer duration. We don't know when is the zuhur of Imam alayhi salam. It can be tomorrow, it can be 100 years. Isn't that right? It can be 500 years from now. Allah knows, we don't know. And after the zuhur is the hukumat and government of Imam alayhi salatu wasalam on the whole world. We don't know when is Yawm al-Qiyamah. It's so far away. Yawm al-Qiyamah, Qiyamah is very far. So we will be yaqeenan, certainly lying in our graves for longer duration than our life. So how much we care about our mattress? Our real mattress is the salat. Because we turn the janazah laid fully on the right hand side. And right hand side is the noor of salat. So if a person did not pray his prayers, so from this right hand side, he should expect the flames of Jahannam coming from the right hand side, because there is no noor to block the naar. Naar and fire can only be blocked by the noor. If we carry the noor and divine light in the grave, it can block the naar, the flames of the Jahannam, of the hellfire. But if our prayers are batil, we did not pray, so on the right hand side, the naar of Jahannam is coming from the right hand side for longer duration than our life. Okay? So if a mayyit's body will decay, there is a restriction in keeping it aboard, and there is a restriction in keeping it aboard a ship, safina, ship. Or one can't wait for reaching the shore. You are in a ship in the ocean, in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. Let's suppose somebody died on the boat, and there is a restriction in keeping the janazah on board the ship. You cannot keep it for long. And one cannot wait for reaching the shore either. You cannot wait. In that case, where you are unable to wait, and you cannot, there's a restriction in keeping janazah on board the ship. Then, or if somebody is afraid, an enemy can take out the mayyit and cut its parts, which is called tamseel al-mayyit, musla. Iyakum wal musla walau bil kalb al aqur. So musla in Arabic means cutting the parts. That's the rasm, that was the tradition of Jahiliyyat. When people were mushrik, they used to cut the nose, cut the ears, cut the hands, cut the lips of the person after his death, out of their enmity. That's how people were jahil. Islam make the people alive, the real hayat. So this is called tamseel of mayyit or musla. So musla is haram, you know, it's not allowed to cut the lips and the ears and the nose or
parts of the body of any mayyit. We don't do that. It's haram to do it towards any Muslim. We can't do it. We can't even do it towards a dog. We cannot even cut the parts of the body of a dog. Iyyakum wal musla walau bil kalbil aqur. But that's how the way some people are, you know. So if you are afraid that an enemy can take out, if you bury it on the shore, enemy can take out the janaza. Imam Ali al-Salam's qabr was majhool, was unknown till the time of Imam Sadiq al-Salam. And ihtimalan, one of the reasons was this, that maybe one of the khawarij, la'natullahi alayhim, one of the enemies of Banu Umayyah, could have taken the janaza out, ihtimalan, and would have insulted the janaza of Amir al-Mumin alayhi salam. So it was majhool. And janaza of Hazrat Zahra salam, qabr of Hazrat Zahra salam alayhi, is still majhool even today. Al-majhoolate qabruha. Don't we say it in her ziyarat? So this is one of the reasons why we pray for the ruhur of our imam, so that the qabr of Hazrat Zahra salam alayhi no longer remains majhool. Which is also, it's also one of the biggest sorrows for a mu'min. So enemy can take it out possibly. In that case, the Sharia says a heavy thing must be tied to the mayyit's leg and you need to throw the janaza into the ocean. That's your taklifun shar'i in these cases which are mentioned here. If a person deserves waqtatul qabr, fishar qabr, Allah can order the waves of the ocean to do the fishar qabr, waqtatul qabr, inside the ocean. Instead of the earth doing the waqtatul qabr, the waves, amwaj, waves of the ocean will perform the taklif from the duty from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can do that. Expenses of fortifying the grave or throwing into ocean will be taken out from the aslul mal, from the original basic amount of the mayyit. If the mom is a kafira, she must be buried in the grave with her back towards the qibla. Let's suppose she was pregnant and the father was a Muslim, the mom was a kafira, and she was pregnant with a child and the child passed away inside her, inside her womb, her rahim. And it's just a 1 month old baby, 2 month old, 3 month old, in less than 4 months. Ghusl and kafan is not wajib anyway for less than 4 months of a baby, isn't it right? You already studied. Salat al mayyat is not wajib until the child reaches 6. You already studied. So it's a 3 month old baby, let's suppose, 3.5 months. Inside the womb of a kafir mother, the father is a Muslim. The Sharia says now you have to bury this kafira woman in the Muslim graveyard with the back of her back towards the qibla, and that's how you know the face of the child will be towards the qibla. And the mother's back is towards the qibla, the Muslim child will be now facing towards the Kaaba. Even if the baby is less than 4 months, that's how we do it. Naqsh means opening up the grave of a Muslim is haram and an insult to the mu'min. Burying of the hair, nails and teeth of a mayyit must be buried with him. If there are hair, nails, teeth getting separated from mayyit, gather all of them and you have to bury all those things along with the mayyit. If it causes naqsh, these should be buried separately. Let's suppose you found the hair, the nails, the teeth of a mayyit after the dafn, after the tadfeen. Now you discover there are two more teeth lying somewhere else. You did not notice. So you cannot open up the qabr. You cannot do the naqsh. You cannot open the qabr here. So here you need to, those parts of the body would be buried separately. To bury your nails and fallen teeth in your life, it is mustahab to do that. Even if your life, if you cut your nails, your hair, your teeth fall down. It's all mustahab. It's mustahab to bury it even in your lifetime. Istiqbalul Qibla means facing the Qibla. It's wajib. It's compulsory to face the Qibla at the time of burial. Finding the Qibla is also wajib. You don't know the Qibla, go and find out. There are so many ways in the Sharia how to find out the Qibla. Ta'yeen of Qibla, you are in a desert, you can see and find through the sunrise and sunset. You can determine, to some extent, you can determine. And in some of the areas of the world, you can determine by the blowing of the winds. In some of the areas, you can determine by the stars. Where is the north star? And you can determine where is the north, and you can find out what is the Qibla. In some of the areas where you can see the stars in the night. So there are various ways to find out. And the Sharia says if you can't have yaqeen, you can act on your dhan, guman. You are 60% sure, you are 70% sure, you are 80% sure, you are 90% sure. This is all guman and dhan. Anywhere between 51%, 50% is called shak. Anywhere between 51% to approximately 98%, 99%, this whole range is called dhan. In Farsi we call it guman. 100% is called yaqeen. So 50% is shak. So if you have 90% sure, you are 60% sure that directly you cannot have yaqeen. If you cannot have yaqeen, you cannot find out and have yaqeen, then at least act upon your dhan and guman. Or lastly, you whatever direction. If you have no way to find out, you have no dhan, no guman, nothing, okay, then at the end, Sharia says you have to bury. You cannot just leave the janazah outside. You have to bury in whatever direction. That's the last thing we do. Removing of tabut is compulsory if it is mumkin. You don't bury with the whole tabut inside. You have to take it out if it is possible. Some states have a law that you have to bury it. Some states do not have a law. You can take it out. So we go by the law. A Muslim in a kafir's graveyard and vice versa. It is not jais to bury a Muslim in a kafir's graveyard and vice versa. Some people say, my mom passed away and this Muslim guy came from wherever, Bellevue, Kirkland, and he was asking that, my mother passed away and I like this graveyard. This kafir graveyard, I like it. So I want to bury it in the graveyard which I like. Well, do you like your mother or you like Allah? Or you don't like your mother and you don't like Allah? That's the first question. Because now she is not living in your house. It's not your Bellevue living room. She is going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let her relax. Would you like your mother to be sitting in inside the hellfire? Or where all the surrounding places are hellfire? Is that you think your mother will be comfortable? Do you feel comfortable sitting in the middle of the fire? Let's suppose I take you to a furnace. Here is the fire, 500 degrees Celsius. And here is the fire in front of you, and here is another fire on your left, another fire on your right. And I ask you, okay, please, brother or sister, please step from all those four fires, step inside and you sit here for next 1,000 years. How would you feel? How would your mother feel? Is that how you love your mother, to put it in front of all the fire from all the four sides? What do you expect the natija of kufr and gulmat, except jahannam? That's how some jahil people are, who think they love their mother, but they are hating their mother by burying her inside the flames of the fire from all the sides surrounding her. And they think they love their mother. How ahmak some people are. So Muslim cannot be buried in the kafir's graveyard, and vice versa, kafir cannot be buried in the Muslim graveyard. It's an insult of a Muslim if you bury it in the kafir graveyard. In a place where it is considered to be an insult, like in a garbage trash area, you don't leave your father or mother's or your brother's grave next to a trash area. That's an insult. In a qasbi, maqsoob, usurp place. You didn't ask from the owner of the land. You just buried your mu'min brother without asking the owner. This is of course not jaiz. That's haram. This is tasarruf fi mal ghair. That's trespassing somebody's property without the permission of the owner, which is in Islam also haram. In a place made of waqf for something else. You know, you put your money, you make a library where there are kutub, there are books of Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam's ulum. This is waqf. This library is maktaba, is waqf. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, nobody can bring his father or mother or brother to bury inside this library, which is waqf Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This property is not here for burial. You cannot bury your any mu'min under the waqf property. In a masjid, we don't bury anybody inside the masjid. People should be buried outside the masjid. Masjid is not the place of burial of mu'mineen. It's ihtiyat wujubi, ihtiyat wajib, that you don't bury anyone inside the masjid. And if it is harmful or if it is an obstacle and mani' to the salat of the people, then it becomes haram. It's no longer jais to do that. It becomes haram. Because now you are harming other people and hurting other people, and you are becoming a mani', an obstacle in other people's salat. But you put this janaza inside and now you make a qabr, so people cannot stand here any longer for their salat. You block them from prayers. In the grave of somebody, somebody is already buried, and the janaza is there inside, you don't bury anyone in there. If it causes the nafsh of the qabr, that will of course be another haram if you open up the qabr. To make the grave as deep as a human's height, this is this raja'ul matlubiyya. It's not wajib, it's not mustahab. Raja'ul matlubiyya means, raja means hope. Ummeed, in Farsi we say ummeed. Matlubiyya means we hope that, what we mean is that we hope that it is demanded by Allah from us to do like this. We hope, we don't know. We hope that Allah wants this thing from us. Because of this hope, we do this kind of behavior. So this is not wajib, this is not mustahab. It is expected to be desired thing from Allah. So we, if we can make the grave as deep as a human's height. So raja'ul matlubi. To bury a person in the closest place unless the farther place has more benefit. You bury as close as you want. The person died wherever, you bury him there in the same place. Unless if there is a tarjih, there is some priority, like there is a benefit involved. For example, more reciters of Fatiha. You bury in a place where there's hundreds of people showing up every Yom al-Khamis, Yom Thursday, reciting Fatiha on the Ahlul Qubur. Of course it's a tarjih. You take it to that place where so many mu'mins are coming on every Thursday reading Fatiha, Surah Yasin. Better you take your janaza there. Or bigger personalities are buried.
Bigger personalities, their kubur are nurani, atqiya, you know, muttaqeen, salihin, shuhada, siddiqeen. Their qabr, kubur, their graves are full of nur, full of the, you know, the place of mukhtalifun malaika. You know, angels are coming and going, coming and going, coming and going. So there's a huge traffic of angels coming in that kubur of muttaqeen every now and then. And for some of the muttaqeen, you know, Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam come to their graves.
For some of the muttaqeen who deserve it.
So when we bury our mayyit next to those great personalities, and there's so much noor around you, you feel comfortable. So much good smell. You know, and that every ma'soom, يَكُونُ رَائِحَتُهُ أَطْيَبْ مِنْ رَائِحَةٍ misk. The smell that comes from every ma'soom is more tayyib and cleaner than the smell of musk.
Mushk. In Farsi we say mushk. So, of course, that's how your mayyit will feel comfortable. You know, smelling the beautiful smells coming from great personalities, souls, finding their nuraniyat next to them, it is comfortable. Instead of feeling next to a fasiq, fasiqeen and mujrimeen who committed so much big crimes on the earth, and mufsideen fil ard, and zalimeen, and supporters of taghuts who will be full of jahannam and full of the flames of the fire, and maqma and maqamit min hadid min nar. And angels are punishing them every day and every night, non-stop punishment. So which is better? To put the janazah in three times while carrying him towards the grave. When you are done with the everything, you know, salat, salatul mayyit, everything is done. Now that you carry the janazah, you put it three times. This all we do it with the raja'ul matlubiyyah. Maybe it is demanded by Allah. And on the fourth time, the janazah be laid into the grave on the fourth time. To put the head of a male mayyit on the third time, next to the grave at the side of the feet, two or three zira' away. Zira' in Arabic means this much distance. From the hand till your elbow. This is called one zira'. So you put the janazah two or three zira' away of a male janazah after putting it three times. The third time you put it next to the grave. So let's suppose this is the grave. So you bring, and so here's the head. Here will be the head of the mayyit placed, and there will be the feet of the mayyit. Let's suppose this is the qabr. So you pray the janazah here. You are carrying the janazah. You put it here. Then you again carry, put it here. Again you carry and you put it here. Two or three zira away. Goes to the feet of the qabr for the male person. For the female person, you put it here, and then you put it down, put her down straight in the lengthwise into the grave. Whereas the male janazah, you put it here from the towards the feet side, two or three zira away, and then you bring it from the feet side into the qabr. Okay, this is all raja'ul matlubiyyah. We hope that it is demanded by Allah like this. To put the head of a female mayyit on the third time to the side of the grave and enter her body lengthwise into the qabr. Okay? Just like I explained. To take the janazah carefully. Don't be moving the janazah left and right. You can about to drop. Don't do like this. You have to be careful. Don't give so much, you know, movement and pressure and jumping the badan inside the coffin. You have to be very careful, you know, towards the janazah. To read the mustahab du'as. Read the mustahab du'as. You know, and you can always read the mustahab du'as, you know, at that time. And to open the knots of the coffin. When you, at the time of burial, we open the knots of the coffin. To make a pillow of soil, and when you put it in the janazah in the qabr, you make a pillow of soil under the head. To put a soil, etc., at the back to support the mayyit so he can comfortably stay like this, like I explained. He doesn't move like this. So you put the soil to make it comfortable and make it and to support the mayyit. The man putting the mayyit in the grave has to have wudu. This is also raja'ul matlubiyyah. The person putting the janazah inside grave should have wudu. Is barefooted. You don't take your shoes inside the grave. Take the shoes off outside and then you go barefooted inside the grave. And bareheaded. Don't be wearing amama or you know, a cap or anything on your head. You have to be bareheaded. It's good if you are bareheaded. And comes out then. That man comes out of the grave from the side of the feet. When you're coming out of the grave, come out from the side of the feet of the qabr, of the mayyit. Not from the side of the head. Those not related to the mayyit throw soil with the back. Maybe ihtimal, and one of the reasons Islam is not asking the aqraba, the relatives, to throw the soil. You know, it is mustahab, you throw the soil. After you bury the mayyit, you throw the soil on the mayyit with your hand. It is mustahab. But it's not mustahab for the aqraba, for the relatives. Maybe ihtimal, and one of the reasons hikmat and wisdoms is this, it makes you qasiyul qalb. Cause qasawat of the qalb. So those who are not the relatives should do that. Those who are not related to the mayyit should throw the soil with the back of their hands to the grave and say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Kalimatul istirja'. We call it kalimatul istirja'. And the mahram puts a woman into the grave. If unavailable, then her relatives will put her. Non-mahram people are not going to touch the woman. Okay? So, one of the places are this, where somebody asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, inshallah we will finish it in 12 minutes, 9:45 inshallah we'll finish, and we will continue the rest in the next program inshallah. So somebody asked Rasulullah, do the angels cry? And do the angels of Allah, Malaikatullah, do they laugh? And Prophet mentioned, when do the angels cry? And when do the angels laugh? And he mentioned three things where the angels laugh in the hadith. And one of those three things where the Malaika, the angels laugh, is this place. Is that when a woman who never used to do hijab and now she is laid inside the grave and now somebody is announcing on top of the grave, only the mahram people come forward to put her in the grave, the non-mahram people you set aside. So the angels of Allah laugh when they hear this statement. In other words, you know, of course, they see, she was never used to wear hijab throughout her life. Now, the mahram people are going to put her and the non-mahram set aside. She didn't care about mahram and non-mahram throughout her life. So, to raise the grave, four joint fingers above the ground. That's how we do. When you make the grave, you make it this much high only. You don't make your graves higher than this. You know, it is makruh for a regular mu'min that his grave is made higher than this much, four fingers joined. You can make the grave higher only for the ulama and the siddiqeen and the awsiya and the a'imma and the anbiya. These categories which I mentioned, it is good that you make bigger graves for them. It is good to make bigger graves. It is good to make mujallal, big graves. It is good for them. For the regular mu'mins, you must not raise the grave more than four fingers combined. This is the maximum limit. To put a mark on the grave for identification. You know, we put the stone, a mark, so it can be identified. Whomsoever is passing by the graveyard, they can identify it. This is a mu'min person. They can read Fatiha. They can say salam to the mayyit. To sprinkle water over the grave. After burying, we pour some water on the grave. After sprinkling, people insert their open hand fingers like this. Open hand fingers. Into the grave and recite Surah Al-Qadr, Inna anzallahu fi laylatul qadr, seven times. You put your right hand, open hand fingers, insert it into the soil and read Surah Al-Qadr seven times after the tadfeen. To seek forgiveness for the mayyit. If you are standing next to the grave, forget about anything else. You'll seek istighfar for this person. You know, this is the right thing, most suitable thing you do is istighfar for that person. And for all the rest of the mu'mineen who are buried there. And to read, Allahumma ja'afil arba an jambayhi. O my Lord, expand the earth from both sides of this person. In other words, O my Lord, expand the grave from both sides of the person, of this person. Was'ad ilayka ruhahu. And take his soul, towards you. Some of the people, because of their fisk and fujur and khiyanat, they are so far away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are ba'id. So, Quran has already said, inna rahmatullahi qareebun minal muhsineen. Rahmat of Allah is close to the muhsineen. Quran did not say, rahmat of Allah is qareebun minal musi'een.
min al fasiqeen, min al mufsideen. No, rahmat of Allah is close to the muhsineen, not to the bad doers. Let's understand the concepts of Islam. This is Quran. So, some people are far away because of their amal and their aqaid. So, we are praying to Allah, was'ad ilayka ruhahu. That means, take his soul close to you. وَلَقِّهِ مِنْكَ رِضْوَانًا and make him meet your pleasure, your رِضْوَان, your رِضَى, your pleasure. وَأَسْكِنْ قَبْرَهُ مِنْ رَحْمَتِكَ مَا تُغْنِيهِ بِهِ عَنْ رَحْمَةِ مَنْ سِوَاكَ and make him reside in, make him, his قبر, make his قبر a place of residence. That you provide your rahmat so much that he doesn't stand in need of anybody else's rahmat coming towards him. He becomes mustaghni, biniyaz from anybody else's rahmat. This is the dua that we should pray at the qabr of a mayyit. Some people, what they do when they go to the maqbara, they are laughing. Isn't that right? Tashiyu janaza, a janaza is carried, and some people are laughing, and some people are talking about dunya. Isn't that right? You know, I went today to the grocery store and I found tomatoes were 79 cents per half pound. What are you talking? You are standing in a maqbara, you are talking about tomatoes? What happened to you? Let's go to Rasulullah and ask what has happened. Let's ask him. In the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam,
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
He says, qala an-nabi, according to this narration, man takallama bi kalami dunya fi khamsati mawadhi'a أحبط الله عمله سبعون سنة. Whoever talks about the talk of dunya in five places, Allah will drop his actions of 70 years. 70 years of your ibadat, your amal, your good deeds, everything will be gone, zero, dropped. من تكلم بكلام الدنيا في خمسة مواضع أَحْبَطَ اللَّهُ عَمَلَهُ سَبْعُونَ سَنَةً أَوَّلُهَا فِي الْمَسْجِدِ. First place is masjid. When we come to a masjid, we don't talk about kalam al-dunya. You want to talk about umur al-dunya, please go outside. When you are inside the masjid, let's follow some principles and values. We don't talk about dunya here. And wasani and the قراءة القرآن. See, somebody is reciting Quran and some other person is talking about things of dunya, umur al-dunya. 70 years of amal, of our amal are gone. You are messing up with the tarjihat, priority list of Allah. So don't talk when somebody is reading Quran. You know, unless you must, unless there's something really important. If there's something really important, okay, I mean, that's justifiable. But, you know, uzrun muwajjah. But if you don't have uzrun muwajjah, don't do that. That's not part of the hadith, I will explain to you. Was salis in the tashi'il janaza. The third place is when the janaza, there's tashir janaza taking place. People are carrying the funeral procession. Some people are carrying the janaza and this guy is standing on one corner and talking about his business deal with somebody. You know, I buy $5,000 of stocks yesterday, but the stocks fell down. You know, I don't know what to do. Forget about your stocks. You're standing in the maqbara. Go and carry the janaza. Give your helping hand to the person. So, people are jahil. Wasalis inda tashi'il janaza. Warrabi' fil maqbara. The fourth place if you talk about Kalamud Dunya inside the Maqbara, when you are inside the graveyard, you talk, you go outside the graveyard and talk about the about whatever you want to talk within the limits of Islam. But when inside the Maqbara, you don't talk about Umur al-Dunya. Well, Khamis Indal Adhan. In the fifth place is when the Adhan is recited, and the Adhan is said. In some of the riwayat, I have read that it has been said that even if somebody is, we learn in the light of those riwayat, that even if somebody is reading Quran and the time of Adhan arrives and now somebody stands up and says Adhan, stop reading the Quran. Pay attention to the Adhan. I read it myself. Look at the importance level of Adhan. Even if you're reading Quran, stop reading the Quran. Now do tawajjuh towards Adhan. This is the time of Salat. This is aham. Those of the people who have hajat, those of the youth who want to marry and they want to find a suitable match, those of the boys and girls, they should stand in their houses and they say Adhan in their own house. InshaAllah, with the barakat of the names mentioned in the Adhan, Allah will fulfill their hajat, Allah will find suitable matches and spouse for them. Adhan is so important. Even we have to stop Quran for the sake of the Adhan at the time of Adhan. So let's remember, we don't talk about Kalam al-Dunya in these five places. Now let's move forward. We have 1 minute to go. Put Jarida 10, two fresh tree branches with the Mayyit. We discussed that at the diagram, in that diagram. It is Mustahab. This is Mustahab. To do Tasliyat, you know, Tasliyat means Ta'ziyat, Tasliyat, you pay your condolences to the family of the Mayyit. Unless if some time has already passed away, you know, you are now meeting this person, you know, after 5 years.
5 years have gone. If you want to talk about all that, what happened to his mother now, his all pain will be refreshed. So don't talk. You know, the Sharia says, unless if some time has already passed away, and consoling and doing ta'ziyat and tasliyat may cause renewing of the pain and huzn and sorrow, then don't talk about that. So how much Islam is careful about the care of the mu'mineen? Don't make them sorrowful.
Don't cause any pain for them. To send food to the family for 3 days. Unfortunately, some people in the Muslim communities, generally speaking, they go and eat the food at the place. Instead of they taking the food to the Mayyit's house, they go there and sit, and now they are talking, and they sit for so long, the time of the ta'am, time of food, time of lunch or dinner comes, and the person, of course, will have to make food and present it in front of those 60 people who are sitting in his house. This is bad. You go there for taziyat and you walk out. Don't stay there for long and don't eat food at his house. You can take the food for 3 days, so they don't have to cook the food. They are in huzn and sorrow. Let's relieve them from their pain and let's not eat at their houses. To say inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, whenever a person recalls the deceased person.
Throughout the year, whenever you recall the mayyit, just say inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, to read Quran for the mayyit. Any time of the year, reading the Quran anytime,
it's mustahab to seek dua at the qabr, the grave of the father and mother. You have your hajat, go to the qabr of your father, go to the qabr of your mother and seek your dua. Allah will inshallah accept your hajat because of the respect of your father or your mother. That's one of the places where the dua is mustajab. The son or daughter should go next to the qabr of the father and mother and do their dua. To make the grave tough so it can sustain. Don't make the grave just, you know, shaky and, you know, temporary things. One rain comes and everything is gone. Now you don't know where you're buried. That's not the right way. Make it tough enough so it can sustain. وَصَلُّ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ some slides, it's not working. I don't know what.